Hey, what's going on, guys? It's me again. I want to make a bit more of a personal video talking about my relationship with women. And this is going to be a little bit longer than usual because I have so much to unravel and I have so much to say about each girl. I'm going to take my time and I'm going to be very thorough and I'm going to be very slow. So if you don't like it, just speed up. I'm gonna bring us back to how I was back in the beginning, before all this started, before Black Cell, before I was other names, back when back 10 years ago now, when I was just starting making content and I understood the way how women really were. I have to go back to like 2002 to 2003 when I started working, 14, 15 years old. And one day, I'll never forget this. One day, my dad, me and him were doing yard work, and he sat there and said, "You know, son, it's always important to love your girlfriend and wife more than she loves you." I never forgot that. And that one sentence has been a curse in my life when it comes to women. It has been a curse. It has not been a blessing. It has been disastrous for me. And I took that to heart. I took it seriously. I was 14, 15 years old. I did what I was told, okay? Red pill content wasn't really around back then. It just wasn't 23, 24, 25 years ago. That stuff didn't exist. Everything was still blue. YouTube didn't exist yet. So we're going way back. 2002, 2001, even probably around that area. And I really looked up to what he was saying, and I really believed it. I took it at face value. Well, as I began to deal with girls on a different, more darker level, I began to notice some patterns of behaviors. One of the things that I noticed was that everyone, all the girls that I talked to, needed help, or they were from abusive households, or they were broken, they were never happy. They were never happy. And one in particular that I know of, that I remember from the early 2000s, let's call her Gold Bar. Yeah, I'm using stupid names. I don't care. I don't care. Gold Bar was trafficked by her own parents for drug money. And I'm not going to go into any detail about that because it upsets me. But you can only imagine what she went through. She wanted a turtle, and she got a turtle later on in life. Gold Bar wanted to be a nurse, and she became a nurse later on in life. But she was heavy on drugs. And we were kids back then. She was 15. 15 or 14, I was 15 or 14 and stuff. We began talking, and she knew I had a job and she wanted help. But I said, "For what?" And she said, "Oh, I need to like get a bus ticket and get out of here." So I didn't give her the money because something was wrong. There was something deeper going on. And that was the end of that. This was the beginning of 23 years of just misery. Let me tell you something about me and dealing with women. I've never dealt with a happy girl ever in my life. I've never dealt with happiness. And When you don't deal with happiness, you deal with lovelessness, you deal with selfishness, you deal with greed, dark triad traits, envy, hatred, self-hatred. You deal with everything else but peace. Peace? I never have had a peaceful relationship with a girl ever in my life. And I'll be 38 in May. I'll be 38 in May. And I've never met a happy girl. Everyone's messed up. And it's done something to me. Now, I know the girls have gone through some stuff. I'm sorry about that. And I offered them advice. I offered them everything I could. I mean, even at 15 years old, I was doing the most. I was doing too much. I was taking things on myself, and I shouldn't have. It's not my business. They needed professional help, but they wouldn't get it. I even led one to a therapist at one point. Goldbar. I led her to a therapist, and she didn't take it. There was another girl we will call 5-5. Yeah, I'm doing stupid names. I'm doing stupid names. I don't care. I have to protect everyone's identity. 5-5 was anorexic because she was very sick. We have almost the same birthdays, almost by like a couple of days. But anyway, she was nice, but she had problems. Epilepsy. Everyone around her is a abuse victim. She had anorexic issues. She self-harmed sometimes. And I begged her to kind of like stop doing this for me, stop hurting herself for my sake, to kind of like give her some sort of hope it didn't work. Then she kind of like just threw it away. Now, I don't know if I specifically don't know if she's still alive. A lot of these girls, I don't know if they're alive or not. I assume they're dead. I assume they're dead. It's almost best for me to assume they're dead because it's been so long. If they're alive, then they forgot about me. They don't remember me that much. No one remembers me. Remember who I am. That's fine. Anyway, on to the next girl. Let's call this one Glasses. Yeah. So Glasses had an undiagnosed bipolar issue. I was studying psychology at the time. I was like 15 years old, reading the DSM-4 or DSM-3 at the time. And I actually got her diagnosis on point. I made a profile of her actual problems, and I told her, like, you may need to go see your psychiatrist and tell them you're having these symptoms, write them down on a list, and go and talk to them. And she did. Come to find out, she was bipolar. It was right. And Glasses was very unstable. She would set her arms on fire and show me. That was sad. Then on my birthday, she, well, prior to that, she got pregnant. And then on my birthday, she lost her baby. So I spent my birthday at night trying to like prevent her from like self-deleting herself. So that's fun. I don't know if she's alive or not. I hope she's alive. I think she was probably one of the more stable girls out of everyone. And yeah. Now we're going to the Spanish Russian girl. I miss her. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit sad. She had cancer when I met her. She had cancer. We were around the same age. She'll be near 40 at this point. And you're like, at least a year or 6 months earlier, but she's about 36, 35 now. She's still alive. I don't know if she's still alive. When I met her, she was losing her hair. She was not doing good. And I just assumed that, she stopped talking to me one day. And she's kind of stopped talking to me. I think one time we were hitting it off, we were talking about, a lot of things and stuff, and she was kind of wanting to not be here because the chemo made her very sick and she just couldn't take it. She didn't want to live that long. And we were only kids. You gotta understand, we're all like kids. So, I was like 15, trying to like 15, 16. Trying to, talk to her about, the pros and cons of dying and living. And I never saw her ever again. So I have to assume she died. R.I.P. I miss you, Russian Spanish girl. Okay, we're gonna go to another one. Let's go to the punk rock girl. Now, this one is a bit more darker story. I have to edit a lot of this out because of YouTube, but I'm gonna try to explain this the best way possible. And I'm getting more sad, so I'm not doing very good today. I'm having a bad day, but anyway. So we're gonna talk about the punk rock girl. One day we were talking about music, and back in that day, I was musically gifted. I still am. I don't really do it anymore. I don't write lyrics anymore, but I was writing her a rock album. She was in a all female metal band. It was cool. I thought it was cool, like Kitty, And she was talking to me on the phone. She's from another state, stuff. Talking to me on the phone. We talked about, writing music and stuff and making it big, whatever. And then I heard a thump. I heard like a kick down, like a loud like knock on the door. And it was her psychopathic cousin, okay? So, cousin came in with a knife. And also the punk rock girl had some histories of self-injurious behavior and some self-deletion issues, and I talked to her through that. I talked her out of that several times. Now this was different. So I was talking to her, heard a loud thump, like a kick in the door. This person ran with a knife. It was trying to take her out of here and do other things that I won't talk about. And I'm on the phone hearing the commotion, the screaming, the stabbing, and stuff. There's nothing I can do because, she's not a next door neighbor. She's, from another state and stuff. Hearing people cry and beg for their life and hearing people get attacked on the phone. Just bad stuff that I can't really I can't really explain it that good. But, for me it was just another Sunday. Anyway, so, somehow she grabbed the knife and I heard a gurgle noise. And sorry, I'm getting a little bit of emotional a little bit. It's just all these memories of just how I've dealt with things. And mind you, I was only like 15, 16 years old, so I'm hearing all this stuff. So she like cut the guy's neck off. with the knife and, cut his head off and stuff over the phone. This is all while I'm like listening to it on the phone. And I heard the guy's head like fall on the ground and the body thump on the ground. And she lost a finger too. She got cut off during the fight. I don't know, it was weird. The cops were called, and I heard the cops come, and she was like bleeding out. She lived. This one lived. That I did know. She was in the hospital for a little bit, and then we didn't talk again. I went to church really like immediately after. Yeah, so hearing, I literally was on the phone hearing that emotion. And I had to like go to church. And I was in such shock that I just went to church. And I never told anyone anything. And it was Easter Sunday, I guess. Let's talk about Catherine. Let's talk about Catherine. Catherine comes from a very bipolar, Wiccan background. And Catherine's mom self-deleted herself, self-deleted in front of the entire family. And that really scarred the whole family, and it messed up the whole family. Dad was abusive, mom was abusive, brother and sister were abusive. It was just, it was bad. So by the time we meet, she's real messed up. She's real messed up, and she's like self-injuring herself, and she's like studying the Luciferian doctrine and doing black magic to have a better life, and drinking blood and doing blood rituals, just weird stuff. Yeah, I never participated in any of that stuff, but she told me a lot of detail. Once again, I'm like 16, 15 years old. This is all speaking of like 4 years. And she wanted to be with her mother. And I remember on my birthday, she had a gun to her head, crying on the phone, talking to me about how she wanted to be with her mom. She misses her. And she just didn't want to be here. Well, she got through it. I talked her out of it. So I spent my birthday talking to people out of self-deletion. That's fine. And she outlived that. She lived beyond that, and she is in a loving marriage and relationship and stuff, but she's no longer a Christian. She's more of a paganistic type of thing. And she's about my age. She's only 2 years younger than me. So she'll be 36 in July. Now we're gonna go on to the main course, because the main course is this one girl. There's three parts of this. All right, these are three, 2 to 3 girls that has defined me and made me who I am today. One's Rosiah. Now I'm not gonna go into detail about Rosiah's background, except for her mom was a crackhead. All right, mom was a crackhead, sold her out to weird people, and I don't know. She lived with like roaches and dead animals and stuff. Just bad. Anyway, she was on drugs, so she always needed help. I really didn't know any better because I was like a teenager. I took everything at face value because of autism, but whatever. And her mom was like high on heroin one time when I went to her place, and she was like hitting on me, and I had no clue. I was just minding my own business and looking at the walls and stuff, and Just it was sad. It was sad. Looking back, it was pretty bad. But I'm so, I was so used to that, it was like it didn't really matter to me. It was like this stuff was like normal. And this is why when I say I'm not used to peace, this is the reason why. Now, Rosaya dated everyone but me. She liked everyone but me. She chose everyone but me. I was fine with it. I didn't care. I don't really care that much. But then there was this one time where we were like, I was helping her with some stuff, helping her with homework, helping her with schooling, helping her with college, help her with, some things that she needed help, some things with. I guided her to a counselor, and she, I don't know if she took it, but anyway. One time I asked her, like, hey, ever want to like be boyfriend or girlfriend? This is like a, this is like before Bitcoin. So it's almost 20 years ago, because I was like 20 at this time. 1920. She was like 18. And I was talking to her, and I was like, look, we talk, we hang out. We want to just like be exclusive and actually try to work on some things and work on your life and really try to work on why you're the way you are. I was alone in the car with her, and you don't know what she said. She looked at me dead in the eye, and I'll never forget this. She said, you're being weird. So, I'm gonna need you to stop it and give me some money. That was the last time I talked to her. And she moved to another state. She looks pretty bad now. She's balding and stuff, and her older sister is doing okay. She still lives in my city. I saw her one time, like 5 years ago. I don't know what happened after that. But she moved. Now the second course. There was one girl I knew. Yeah, for the main course. There was one girl I knew. She was a girl. She was from a very dark background. I don't really. I guess we're on drugs, basically. And once again, just another, just once again. And she didn't have a lot going for herself. She didn't have a lot going for her life. And I felt sorry for her, and tried to help her out the best way I could. Did not work. So, she always wanted a handout, and I just kind of didn't feel like it. And she got mad and blamed me for her problems. Great. Blame me for her life. Great. Great, 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 great. And then there's another girl who tried to get me fired from my our job. And I invited her to play at the local arcade about 15 years ago, 15, 17 years ago. It was a while ago. And she went to HR, complained, because I was asking people, hey, you want to come hang out at me at this arcade and play video games? I've asked some guys, and they can vouch for me. I asked two girls and two guys. Just, we can all hang out because we all work together. I got a call from the office that the next day. They were saying, like, we got a complaint that you're asking people to go to the arcade. Like, where's the arcade at? I showed them the directions, and it was a real place. Then I asked them, like, is there anything wrong? And they're like, well, people just felt uncomfortable with you asking them to come to the arcade and hang out with them. Just so happens that the guys were okay with it, the girls weren't. Well, just tell me you don't want to go. Don't sit here and say yes, look uncomfortable, and then say, okay, I'll see you there, and then try to risk losing my job. Well, what ended up happening was the staff and the guys vouched for me, and they were like, we think this was a misunderstanding. So we both signed a contract saying that we wouldn't talk. Well, she ended up talking to me through Facebook. outside of office hours. And she was like, so wanted to self-delete herself. She was not doing good. She was homeless. She quit her job like 2 weeks later. And she was only there for 2 weeks. And she didn't do her job. She was like a single mother with a baby. Maybe it was like 13 now, probably. She kept blowing up my phone. She kept messaging me. She kept asking for money. And I wasn't having it. And I was like, you could have got me fired for no reason. If you don't want to hang out with me, just don't hang out with me. It's fine. I'm not, mad or jealous. Just don't hang out with me. Well, I saw her years later at the pizza delivery place, and she looked haggard. She looked like she was on drugs. She looked bad. And pulled her aside, and I asked her, like, do you need some money? And because she looked homeless, she looked homeless. She looked like homeless. And she was trying to like find a bathroom to go into so she could like wash her clothes or something. It was so bad. It was almost like karma. And I was like, look, just here, take this 20 and leave. Just don't come back to my job, please. Because it was she went she it just so happened to go to my other job, and she didn't know I worked there. That was the last time I saw her. Then there was another girl that was worked there. I saw her years later. She recognized me, and she laughed in my face about that incident. She remembers that incident, and she laughed in my face. She thought it was funny, and then she asked for help to pay rent, so that she could like show me her boobs and stuff. I rejected her offer and blocked her number. I'm not paying your rent. I'm not paying your rent. I'm not doing that. This is like 11 years ago. Excuse me. Now we're going to the final one. The last one. The one that probably hurt the most, but I'm so used to this. I'm so used to this that I don't even know what to even say anymore because it's like a combination. It's like a combination of like everything I've ever been through and everything I've ever gone through with women from like the get-go. And it all comes together with my father when he told me in 2002, 2001, 2003, whenever, when he said you should love women and love your girlfriend and love your wife more than they love you. I took that and ran with it. Now watch this. Check this crap out. There was a this one hurts the most out of everything. This one's the worst one because I invested the most time. I invested the most time and most resources, and it just oh my gosh. Okay, so what am I going to call this one? Because I have to be careful. Let's name her Rebecca. It's not her name. Let's just call her Rebecca. Let's call her Rebecca. No, let's not call her Rebecca. That's a common name because I know Rebecca personally. Let's call her Integral. That's a character from Hellsing. So Integral was I met her about 10 years ago or whatever, and she was a cool person. She had a lot of problems I won't go into because I'll try again. And basically I really put my effort in this one. I mean, of all the things I did from 2002 to now, whatever, I did the most with this particular girl. I gave her food. I gave her shelter. Never knew where I lived. But I gave her shelter when she was like, had nowhere to go. I gave her a ride to like, safe place multiple times. And she had some baggage, but I just wanted to be a good person, you know. And I'm not necessarily a really a good person. I'm a good person, but I'm not a good person. I'm tired. I'm very tired. So, Integral had some addictive tendencies that I won't go into because it hurts my feelings, and I definitely want to be protective of her identity. But let's just say she chose the addictions. She chose the vices over me. She chose the world over me. She chose everyone over me. She chose the bad boys. She chose the thugs. Man, did she choose the thugs? And it ruined her life. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how much I gave. It didn't matter. If your mind is messed up, you will not appreciate nor function to your capabilities that you need to function to. She crashed out some certain place I won't discuss. I almost took her to church. A personal church that I go to. Because she would, talk to me and talk about going to church. She would cry as I prayed for her. And when I mean I prayed for her, I had tears streaming down my face praying for her. I mean, oh my gosh. Anyway, all that was in vain. I got her a journal. She was on medicine and she didn't take it. She had some problems. I won't go into. She had some practices I won't go into because it hurts my feelings. But she chose, a lot of vices that in the end made she basically chose everything and everyone but me. You can accept that. It's fine. It's happened to me before. But what I can't accept is her denying righteousness. I led her to a good door and she walked away and she didn't open it. I think that that's what gets me a lot. That's what hurts me. Hurts me because I was so close to saving her, I was so close to, I wanted to be the one to baptize her. I just it would have been a great story. It just didn't work. It didn't work. She's out there. She's out there doing what needs to be done, I guess. I don't know. And my best wasn't good enough because it's like we never met. We're back to being strangers. That hurts me a lot because I've known her for like 10, 11 years. And to throw that all away, to throw it all away for whatever she was chasing, whatever she liked or wanted, and to have those things that she liked and wanted beat her down when a good, righteous man was right in front of her, and for her to walk past me, knowing she was gonna suffer. I don't get it. And that's why it hurts. It hurts to let someone go that you were saving, that you wanted to save. It hurts. It hurts very badly. And there's nothing I can do for her. So one of these days, I'll probably get a call that she died somewhere or found in some dumpster or found in some forest. And I'm gonna have to just hang up the phone and keep working and act like I never knew her, knowing I knew her for a decade. That's what hurts. So, I'm a little bit upset talking about all this because I've never met a peaceful girl ever in my life. I have never met anyone, a girl that has been happy. I have never met a girl that's never had an STD or something like that. It's always been something. Mental illness, there. Incest, there. SA, there. Violence, there. Killed a cat, there. Necrophile, there. Obsessed with serial killers, there. Like, abandonment issues, there. Borderline personality disorder, there. Psychopathy, there. Like, self-injury, there. Bipolar schizophrenia, the same thing, there. Drugs, there. Heroin, there. Alcohol, there. Alcohol, been there too. Like, I've done that twice. I'm tired. I'm so tired, and I can't really function anymore around people because I think they're all like them. That's all I expect. That's all I see. So, where am I at after all the dust has settled? Everyone's forgotten about me. No one remembers me. No one cares. That's fine. I can take another hit. That's fine with me. As for me, the actual chances of me, ever giving a woman of any the past 10 years ever a chance, is doggone never gonna happen. I have seen too much. I have heard too much. I have been through too much. And none of these people wanted help. None of these people wanted to take my advice. None of these people. It's like I'm dealing with the same girl, but they're different. But they're in different bodies, look different. And Integral was the last bit of energy and hope I had in dating and having a female companionship. I just don't care. And I never really cared. I think I lied to myself more than what I want to admit. And I think I lied to myself stating of how I felt societal pressure to date and be with people when I deep down I just didn't care. I was passive. And she kind of solidified that. She solidified it completely. She integral. Specifically, beat the ever living love out of me. Whatever I had left to like find someone or to have the energy to go on one single date, she beat the mess out of it. She killed it. She killed it. Integral killed it. She killed it. She killed whatever hope I had and dating, relationships, all that. I'll never give another woman the time of day ever. I'll never do it. I'll never do it. And if I have to die alone to be found dead somewhere in some apartment, then so be it. I don't care. I'd rather have my peace and happiness and my mental health than to deal with all of that. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I am more than tired. I can't help my own self anymore because of the energy I spent helping these girls since 2003, 2002 to 2026. That's half my life. That's half my life. I've been a nice guy. I've been a good guy. I've been a Steve Urkel. I've been everything that everyone wanted me to be, and it got me nowhere. So, Let me tell you guys something. This is the end of the video. It's been 40 minutes. 40 minutes of me talking. Don't do what I did. Don't sit here and try to save these women. Don't sit here and try to be nice to them. Don't sit here and try to linger around them and, you know, well, you know, if I just spend more time and spend more effort and Yeshua, don't do all that. Women are not banks. What you put in, you do not get out. It's a negative ROI. It's a negative ROI. Oh, gosh. And, yeah, it is. And just work on yourself and cut your heart out. Personally, what I mean by that is you need to get it through your doggone head that you are not going to find anyone at this timeline in this dimension ever. Because you got to deal with diseases, you got to deal with baby mama drama, you got to deal with a bastard kid, you got to deal with the baby dad, you got to deal with something. And it's not worth it. I tried every avenue trying to, you know, trying to find something in line to myself. I'm not dealing with that. Single mothers and stuff like that, and the kids, and you know, all that stuff like that. I'm not dealing with that. Baby daddy being abusive and beating the crap out of people, and then they run back. I'm not dealing with that. Alcohol, drugs, vices, whatever. Etc. I'm not dealing with that. Mental illness. If it's not checked, or if you're not going to therapy, I'm not dealing with you. I can't. Just leave me alone and let me die in peace. You guys can take this however way you want. I don't care. But I wanted to explain my complete an uncut relationship with every woman I've ever dealt with. And with that, I leave you goodbye.